Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop. The weekend is here, fellas. Getting ready for an exciting Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. What are you laughing about, Key?
I'll get there.
What? You can't be deviously or devilishly chuckling in the background. I need to know what it is.
I make myself laugh at people in the world all the time. And LZ, are you there with me, brother?
Yes, sir.
You know, I truly admire you. And I've said this to it doesn't mean it's the kiss of death and all that craziness. No, that's not. No, I'm serious. And I have to laugh because I just realized I was looking at my phone and I was looking at some of our text message exchange with the group. And I just laugh because people in this world are crazy. And I admire you in your spirit of who you are, like who you are as a black man that is gay in this world that we live in. And I can only imagine one part of it for me is being black. The other part is not being gay. And I know the type of problems and the way people look at me and have treated me based on the color of my skin. But you have a double whammy against you. And I read the tweet that somebody had sent to you and being derogatory towards you. And I said to myself, if I could somehow, and that's just why I started laughing, if I could somehow climb through the cords and get to this person and physically attack them, I would on the behalf of you. It's just crazy. Like some of the stuff that comes to people's minds that just, and I know it's not new. I get it. You always tell me nothing new, blah, blah, blah. What did you expect? I just, seeing it is different. It's seeing it is different than just thinking that that is what it is. But when I physically see it, it pisses me off. It makes me mad. It makes me so angry. And for them to be this proclaimed lover of things, it's crazy. It's just, but that's what it was, Travis. I was laughing at that, thinking to myself, if I could get next to the people, if I could just get next to them.
I mean, people on Twitter stuff is nothing new.
But it's crazy. That's
I appreciate
why I don't even,
it, Keith.
I don't even respond to people. I look funny at that stuff, and that's it.
I just thought it was funny. You know, I shared the tweet just because they kind of insulted my husband at the same time, and I was just kind of making fun of it. Like, the tweet basically says, I'm with the whitest guy ever, and I'm like, my husband ain't that damn white. He's got some soul in him. He's collard greens with us. He knows how to, he made me catfish and grits one night. He ain't that damn white. But that's just kind of how I handle it. You know, it's like, I don't know the people on Twitter coming at me, just like I don't know the people on Twitter who support me. All I can do, to your point, Keen, I appreciate it, is just roll with being me, you know, and hopefully, I got a nice little tribe where people give a damn what I have to say, what I think, and appreciate my experiences, the things that I've encountered. The people who are willing to interact with me and call me back when I ask them for quotes and things like that. All I have is my credentials. And the rest of
that's
it.
That's why I don't even. That's why I can't, man. I just, I don't know. My tolerance level is just, woo.
Well, Key, this is what's interesting, I think, is what you're talking about. You're angry, understandably so. LZ, I like Keyshawn said, I can't imagine dealing with those people every single day over and over again for a variety of different things. But it also reminds us that they're out there and that there's more than just a guy sending you a tweet, that there's a whole bunch of them. And it's one thing for us to talk about it.
No, why you hide?
That's because that's what they do, Key. That's not a huge surprise.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Cowardly. I don't like that, though. I get it. It's sports, whatever. Stick to sports, all that. I get all that. But why you hide? If
because
you're so tough, stop hiding.
Because deep down they know that what they're doing is wrong. They're not going to change, but they know that that's not okay to say out loud in public to a person's face, so they do it online. The point I was getting at is that, yeah, no, of course they are. But those people are abundant. The people that feel like that are abundant. And this is what I worry about. I worry about what we've been talking about today. What got a lot of traction yesterday was Pete Carroll talking about Colin Kaepernick, that he regrets signing him in 2017, that he, you know, that a team called him as recently as yesterday to ask him questions about Colin Kaepernick, that we all say and do the right things, or I should, let me rephrase that, that we say the right things, that we're hearing the right things, but when it comes time to actually pull the trigger to do the right thing, that that guy that just sent that tweet that you're talking about isn't rattling around in the back of football's head, of other institutions' heads. Like, we still want to collect that guy's money. So let's not go too far. We can talk about Colin Kaepernick coming back, but let's not actually do it. This is my concern. Saying it is fine, but actually doing it is a whole nother step. And so far, no one has done it. Pete Carroll said he wanted to do it. Hugh Jackson said he wanted to do it. The NFL says we need to do better without ever saying his name. Saying, great. Doing, still waiting.
Well, see, Hugh Jackson, to me, wanted to do it but didn't have the power to do it. Pete Carroll thought about doing it but got spooked with the power to do it if he decided to do it. That's the way I look at it. But to come back and say that somebody reached out to you to sign me when you got Geno Smith as your backup and Kaepernick is available, even though he hadn't played in a couple years, to me, I would think the game has not passed him by, and he's probably better than the backup that you have, even though you left yourself a little window. Because whenever you say as of now means there's a window open of an opportunity to maybe revisit that. So you put that out there in the universe to get people's pulse to see what people going to feel before you do it. Could be the play for
Pete Carroll. If you're waiting for the pulse, Key, and let's do this. Let's listen to Pete Carroll. He was asked whether or not he'd consider signing Colin Kaepernick if Russell Wilson was injured.
I like our setup right now. You know, I love the way Geno fits together in our role and all that. So that it's not really available at this time for us. But if Russ ever got tangled up and couldn't play or something, Cap would have been an extraordinary candidate to take over because of the dynamics of his play.
Okay, so we heard
it's not
right
available.
Now,
it's not available,
it's not
right,
available
now.
Right now. It would be an extraordinary option. There's all of these phraseology that says, yeah. But when it comes to, he didn't say, oh, yeah, if he went down and all of a sudden I needed to get a guy, he'd be my first call. He said he'd be an option. I don't want to hear that I have to take everybody's temperature. I have to see which way the wind's blowing before I do this. Somebody do it. Somebody stop talking about it and somebody do it.
I mean, it's that simple, right? It truly is. Everyone's talking around it.
Let me stop you real quick, though, LZ. So what I was always taught when things like this come up, and I was taught from my agent, Jerome Stanley, very, very smart, been in the business 1,000 years, about signing players that have what they deem as red flags. Owners have to sign off on it, right? They have to be the ones. He's always told me that, the owner. But on top of the owner's wife has to sign off on it. She may not be visually there, but she's there. And when the wives sign off on it, the owners tend to sign off on it. When you say, well, they got to do it, they got to do it, got to do it. Sometimes them wives don't want to do certain things, whether it's from a domestic violence standpoint, whether it's the protest. They've got to get approval. It ain't just I'm doing it. Because at the end of the day, when that wife is somewhere playing bingo and them girls, her little homegirls is asking her, why would y'all sign him? She's got to come up with an explanation. So it's a lot of little layers to just signing people.
So Colin Kaepernick.
But the NFL signed P.J. Walker, who was an XFL star, in March. P.J. Walker was signed from the XFL, a league that lasted how long, Travis?
A few months. Yeah.
A few, you know, if that. They signed him to a roster, but they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick. Like at a certain point, it's an insult. It's an insult to sports fans, because the casual sports fan would, I'm assuming, would know that a young quarterback who led his team to the Super Bowl is probably a better bet at backup than a star from the XFL, a league that just started and ended basically the same month. That's not meant to tear down PJ Walker. It's not to tear that player down, Keith. It's just to talk about the disparity between the two. Yeah, PJ Walker is like 5 years older than him.
I understand. Well,
Like you said a minute ago about the teams are incredibly reluctant to sign a player with red flags. And clearly Colin Kaepernick had the reddest flag you could have because for all the reasons LZ said, he's clearly a capable player that nobody signed. And now it's very obvious why. That people misdirected his protest. They mischaracterized it. They did all the things that we've seen happen over the last several years. The NFL just said, this is not a red flag anymore. We're okay with this. We got it wrong. We need to listen more. Pete Carroll, a very powerful head coach in this league, like you were talking about Hugh Jackson, doesn't have that power. Pete Carroll does. There are other head coaches that have power to make these decisions. I hear what you're saying about the wife going to play bingo, but that implies that there is still a red flag on this man. The NFL is saying there isn't, but the decision makers are saying there still is. One of those two things can't be true.
Well, I honestly think he will be signed by somebody, but there's all these, we want microwave things done instant right now. Gratification pushes start done. These billionaires that run these teams, they move at a different pace. Just because we want it right now doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. It may happen as they get into training camp because the physicals and the things that they got to do and the coaches got to look at the rosters and who's available and who's not available. They got to do all of that sort of stuff. I do think he will get signed this year. I honestly do think that. And I think a team like the Baltimore Ravens, even a Seattle may come back around after they take a look at Geno Smith again throwing the ball. They may come back around and say, you know what? We might as well just bring Kaepernick in. I mean, so we got time here. We got time. Training camp doesn't start till July, at the end of July. So we got time.
Hopefully it happens. Hopefully, because I'm tired of hearing people say it. I'd like to see somebody actually do it. The weekend edition, the new dad edition of Chef Boyardee coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, I know you've had a little bit on your plate that, you know, you've become a father yet again, that you've been dealing with no sleep and all these things. But still, I know that this is something that you're passionate about. I'm going to need a little weekend meal planning, a little Chef Boyardee.
It's so funny that we mentioned salt in there. I actually used my black Hawaiian salt the other day on a dish that I hadn't used in quite some time. It's pretty good. I forgot all about it. It's summertime. It's hot out on the weekend, and our grills are going crazy. I've been grilling here for the last couple weeks on a consistent basis. And I start off with a chili lime basil-based wings. So what I do is I take the basil, I take the extra light olive oil, I take it with the lime, I squeeze it in, I squeeze it all in the blender, I drop in a little salt. So you got the lime, the basil, a little bit of cilantro, olive oil, and just a small pinch of vinegar. I put it in, blender, get it all nice and ready to go, and I baste the wings on that. And as I set them on the grill, I'm going to keep them at a low temp because the oil is going to burn them if you turn them on like y'all do, Travis. You know how you take them out the package, just throw them on the grill, you know, like a lot of my buddies do when I go to them, burn like, it all up. No.
We're bad at a lot of things.
Don't do that, Travis.
I know how to cook some wings. I want a little respect for my wings.
But you want to keep it on the lower temperature side. That way you get the nice brown crisp to it, and it's not all burnt where you got to scrape it off. Okay. So then I'm going to take, I'm also going to go to the farmer's market, and I'm going to get a chicken jalapeno cheddar from the farmer's market, or you can probably buy them at the grocery stores depending on where you go. chicken sausage, big, long, fat ones. I mean, they just to the point where when it pops, when it's right, and that cheese gets the oozing out, oh, you got to transfer it from the bottom grill up to the third level, so that way you're not burning it up. So that's your meat. Then I love corn. We love corn. It's corn season. The corn that I cooked last night was like sugar. I mean, it was as sweet as all outdoors. So what I'm going to do there is I'm going to take the fresh jalapenos that I bought from the market, farmer's market, the Earth Balance butter, which I know you say, it's vegan. It's Earth Balance butter, and it's actually quite good. Would you not agree, LZ?
Yes, it is. I co-sign.
Guys, so what's the ingredient in butter? It's cream,
okay,
right?
Which comes from
a cow.
Okay, so you do it with your butter the way you do it, and I'm going to do it the way I do it with my butter. I'm going to use Earth Balance. Travis. I'm going to chop up the jalapenos. I'm going to drop them in the blender. Good. I'm going to drop them in the blender. I'm going to drop some salt in it. Then I'm going to take that butter with those jalapenos, and I'm going to rub it nice and tight, wrap it in aluminum foil, and I'm going to drop it on the grill. Then I'm going to take an assorted mix of vegetables. I bought this basket. So I got some broccolini. I got some zucchini. I got the tricolor bell peppers. I got the nice Maui onions, and I'm chopping them in big spaces. I'm mixing in a little bit of extra light olive oil, drop some salt and some pepper on it, and I'm sticking it in that basket, and I'm sticking it on the grill. All that made nice and easy. But what I'm also going to do is I'm going to take that same base that I use for the chicken, and I'm going to slice some avocados and some Persian cucumbers, and I'm going to use that same lime basil dressing drizzled lightly over those cucumbers and avocado with a little sea salt on it, and there you go.
Okay, I have two questions. Number one, when we're talking about the chicken seasoning you're talking about with the basil and everything else, the jalapenos that you have there, do I marinate the chicken in that, or do I just kind of brush it on when it's on the grill?
You marinate it. You know, it just depends on when you doing this. Like for me, I came up with this within hours. Oh, what am I going to cook today? Okay, let me look. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. And so I didn't get a chance to sit in a 24-hour marinating period. Typically, I want it to sit in a 24-hour marinating period before I actually do it. So once I put it in a bowl and I mix everything together, that's good for instant gratification right now. But I would typically want to be 24 hours.
Okay, good to know. And then my last question
question.
Okay, go ahead, LZ.
Okay. Well, why are they called Persian cucumbers? Are they actually from Persia?
Man, I you know what, man? Don't ask me. That's a good question. I need to fact check that because I don't know. I know the sign says Persian cucumbers.
More, that's why.
And they do cost more. And they have all that big old
thick skin. They have a thinner skin.
Yeah, the big thick skin. And they're much easier to eat with like hummus and stuff like that for me.
My what last question to do with Persia?
Man, I have no idea, boy. Maybe that's why they started. Hell, you asking me like I'm a historian of where veggies grow.
I'm in on the meal key, but now I need a bar menu. What am I having to drink with this?
Well, it's summertime. You don't want to go too heavy, right? If you want to have you some light wine, whether it's a Pinot Grigio or Chardonnay of some sort, you're more than welcome to have that.
White Claw.
If you want to go Zinfandel, you more than want that. But if you want something a little stronger and a little harder, you always can go with some sort of citrus martini sort of, you know, drink out there. If it's me, a mojito of sort, something along those levels would be nice and easy. A skinny mojito would hit the target for me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, I don't need too much sugar.
I have still never tried a White Claw. Am I missing out, or should I have something else? Do I need to dip my toe in that pool?
Let me tell you, if you want to break the law, Travis, you got to drink some White Claw. That's how you get a tall glass, put some ice in it, and just pour it on top. And if you want, like if it's a little late in the day and you just want to get straight to it quicker, because I think that's 5% by volume, you add a little shot of vodka to it. So there's hardly any calories, no carbs. So it's good for you. You can drink them all summer long. Guys drink it at the bars. I saw one down at the beach at the bar, $8. It costs $8 for a six pack, but now they're charging $8 because a lot of people, guys and girls, are drinking them. So try it this summer, man, if you haven't. I like it.
Travis, might have to give it a
Travis,
shot. Yes.
What you got to try, you and LZ, everybody actually, is you got to take that butter, you got to take them jalapenos, you got to put it in the mixer, and now you can go normal butter. You don't have to go vegan butter. It's just that vegan butter.
When I tell you this, I'm going out to dinner tonight, so I'm not going to do it tonight. But I promise you, I'm going to do that on Saturday.
Yeah, food processor, blender, same thing, whatever. Yeah. Just and rub that stuff on there. Oh man, you died and went to heaven, boy.
You know why I'm going to do it too. Not only is it because it's delicious and you recommended it, but it's going to be a celebration for me. Do you know why?
That's right. We got morning show history. Cue the music, Jorge. Cue the music.
What music? That's morning show history.
My music. My music, Jorge. Yeah, Knight Rider theme. Let's go.
Jorge still has some music.
It's been so long.
Jorge, you took a 5-minute break, man. Come on now. Get with it.
It's been a rough week for Jorge. But anyway, congratulations, Travis.
There it is.
You won with an astounding 44% of the vote. That brings you to 3 victories in the morning show draft, snake draft. It's been a minute, but he is back. We're happy for you. We're getting text messages on the butter, by the way, just real quick. Mario and Ramona texting. Ramona's talking about the chicken sounds good. She put an expletive in the beginning. I'm not going to cut that out. And Mario Reeves there loves the butter that Keith's talking about. But congratulations, Travis. We've shown that the world has really changed. So, his music, I think he wants to say something to the people and to the public and to the people of America. Go ahead, Travis.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm incredibly emotional right now, and I want to collect my thoughts, and I want to make sure that I thank the people that made this possible. First and foremost, Raj, I thank you. I thank you for advocating on my behalf yesterday, for telling the people that I deserved a second chance, for telling the people that my list of crappy movie sequels was worthy of consideration. I would like yet again to say that the General Lee, when it came to picking famous television automobiles, was a bad decision. I've learned. I've grown. I've understood that. These were picks that probably should have never been made and certainly not made in the year 2020.
LZ Scooter! Fireman Scooter!
I want to say thank you to everybody that looked past my mistakes and looked at the list of movies that I selected. Thank you to all of you. And I look forward to winning another draft in the very near future. I shouldn't be this excited about this, but I am. I feel good about it. It is a win. I am celebrating.
Roscoe P. Go Train!
Okay, see, that bit's over. It's over.
Absolutely, thank you to everybody. No, it feels good. It feels fantastic.
It's like the Cubs curse or something, man. You ended the curse, the drought. I mean, it's no words that can explain it, but it really shows the shift in America, how people can just look past things and forgive, even someone like you who picked General Lee. I mean, it's good.
With the first pick in the draft, Travis, the first pick in the draft, just out the gate.
Yeah, this is all great and everything. Let's see what you do from here.
Well, that's look, everybody, when you're in a slump, you played a little baseball, you're in a slump, all you need is one little hit, just a little bleeder to kind of fall in there, and then you start barreling stuff up again. So I am feeling good about it. All right, so the world has forgiven me. Will they forgive Jerry Jones? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Key, I want to know what a 5-day-old baby mean mug looks like. Give me a description of what Shyla's mean mugging you looks like.
Man, you know, when the nose flare and the eyebrows go together and you got that little Frankenstein look at the top of your forehead, that's the mean mug.
Perfect. All right. The NFL made an announcement today. The NFL announced that they are going to officially recognize Juneteenth as a league holiday. They are going to have the league offices closed. And it is a holiday as far as the NFL is concerned, which is good news, which means that, you know, their awareness has been heightened, that they are making an effort to be more culturally aware, culturally appropriate. These are all good things,
man,
but
nothing but a Friday weekend, man.
But key.
No, I'm teasing.
The league is still talking about Colin Kaepernick and hasn't done anything. And I keep coming back to this. I know we talked to Clinton about this a few minutes ago, but Jerry Jones has still not said anything. Jerry Jones, who was at the forefront of the "we're not going to kneel in this league." Jerry Jones, who's the shot caller in this league for all intents and purposes, the most powerful person in this league, hasn't said a peep. That is far more meaningful than recognizing a holiday, in my opinion.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that I've all, you know, this thing's been going on, so there's a couple of things that's been going through my mind about it. One is the league as a whole has said what they needed to say. So I believe the majority of the owners are going to stand behind Roger Goodell's statement, the $250 million, the league, Juneteenth. That's what they're going to say. See, we doing everything. They're not individually or looking to make a stance.
They were individually looking to make a stance when it came to kneeling.
There's no question about that, right? Because that's what they believed, and that's what they was being told. Now they don't believe something. They've been told something different. So they didn't get it right. They don't want to double down on making a mistake again, even though we know it's not a mistake. They're being very cautious as to how to go about dealing with the situation. That's just my belief. Jerry Jones also doesn't want to be forced or feel like he's being forced into doing something that he can't just do when he feels like he needs to do.
I would have his silence so, key would so be less impactful to me if he hadn't been so outspoken on the other side of the issue.
No, I understand, but I understand. I'm just trying to explain.
I'm going to break down. I'm going to break down for you guys because I don't think a lot of people even know what Juneteenth is. So I'm going to break this down because it's very germane to this conversation about Jerry Jones. Juneteenth is the celebration of the last of the slaves being freed. The Emancipation Proclamation was supposed to have done that. But just when I was talking about Clinton Yates about the follow-through for the Emancipation Proclamation wasn't simply the Civil War. We actually still needed a Juneteenth because there was one state in particular that wasn't willing to let go of their slaves and kept them enslaved years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Do you know what state that is?
The Lone Star State. Yeah.
Can I take a guess?
Texas.
Yeah.
Texas. So it's very apropos that the person that we're waiting to hear from the most, who seems to be dragging his heels on this, is from Texas, and that the NFL has announced it's going to celebrate Juneteenth because, once again, Texas is being slow on this conversation. And I don't know if they made it, decided to do that because they were trolling Jerry Jones or not. I don't know if they think on that kind of level. I think if they did, it's very good trolling for to do that. But I'm going to side on they're not thinking that. But I think it's very apropos that here we have Jerry Jones from the great state of Texas being slow to get on board, just like Texas was in terms of the Emancipation Proclamation and freeing the slaves. It's just all like a full circle kind of weird thing. And I wish I could believe that the league was trolling their own owner. I severely, it's probably a coincidence, but when you look at it in totality, it's just kind of like, wow. Once again,
well,
a representative from Texas is slow on this.
It wouldn't put it past me. I mean, it wouldn't put it past if Roger Goodell was doing something like, because you know him and Jerry Jones had a disagreement, a heavy disagreement about 2 years ago, where he tried to stop Roger from making $50 million a year. And you know, it was a court deal, and it was, I'm going to sue you, you're going to sue. It was a whole, you know, billionaires, boys club argument going on. So it's not, out of 32 owners, every single owner don't think like Jerry Jones. You know, some of them just don't say nothing, but all of them don't think like that. All of them don't line themselves at everything.
No, of course not.
Jerry does and says, you know, they all don't. But some of them are not as strong in their position.
And so that's the thing,
tight on the sideline.
That it's Jerry Jones's strength that is the issue, because the owner of the Titans, for instance, Amy Adams Strunk, she owns the Titans, and she has a statement saying, I'm okay with my players protesting. We need to listen to this. We need to do better. And I'm okay with whatever they have planned when we get to the season. Again, this is Amy Adams Strunk, who I would argue that unless you are a Tennessee Titans fan, and maybe even if you are, you don't know who that person is. You did not know that she was the owner of the Titans until maybe I just said it, or maybe you saw her statement a little bit earlier. Jerry Jones is one of the most famous people in this league. He's as famous as many of the players and more famous than most of them. Jerry Jones is the guy that very, very quickly, aggressively said, we're not doing this. The league has taken the steering wheel and pulled it in a different direction and said, we're okay with this. We are going to do these things. And yet Jerry, who is as media savvy as you could ever have an owner be, he knows exactly how to play this. We've seen it before that Jerry's holding post-game press conferences. He's breaking down the game. He is as present as anybody has ever been as an NFL owner. Crickets. And it's not just that he's hiding behind the NFL statement, because that could be one thing, but his silence is a statement. His silence is a statement of, yeah, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I'm okay with the way that we are turning this league, because if he were, I think he would say something, because he knows that that's good PR for him, especially in this climate right now. That he's chosen not to do it is just as powerful of a statement.
I think it is, and I think he's going to continue to get heat. This heat is going to continue to go. And as we go from Friday into the weekend and he still hasn't said anything, he will be the topic of conversation coming out the weekend if he didn't say anything, assuming that nothing goes on in the sports world. It's crazy, because we want Jerry to say something, okay? Whatever it is. You don't like us, whatever. You need to say something, because you aligned yourself in hijacking the message that was being sent by Kaepernick. Put your toes on the line and all that mandatory crap that went on, to the point where you have people calling you things other than the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. So you need to say something, dog. It's time to say something.
Crosstalk with George Sedano coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, George. So Pete Carroll says that he regrets not signing Colin Kaepernick in 2017. And then when he was asked whether or not he would sign him now if Russell Wilson got hurt, he says, well, we've got Geno Smith, so I'm not quite sure, but he'd be an attractive option. Which one of those two things is true?
I mean, I guess technically both could be true, but I don't know if I buy either of them. Look, if you regretted it that much, you should have signed him. Like, you know, Pete wants to have his cake and eat it too. And I just think that, look, Damian Woody said this best yesterday on SportsCenter when he called the whole situation that in regards to Pete weak, because he had his opportunity and now he's trying to make it seem like he's being the good guy. Oh, a team called me about him and I'm happy to. Well, then if you were so happy about, you know, divulging this information, why didn't you add him to your roster when you had the chance?
Or he has a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you, George. It's just hard for me to have so much heat on Pete, because essentially the entire league's doing it, and he stood out and he's trying to say something, and now he said something, and I'm pretty sure there's gonna be other coaches, former and current coaches, who are gonna say something. But the reality is the entire league operated like this.
Sure.
And I'm not going to save all my vitriol for Pete. I'm going to let him know I know what it is, but I'm also going to put what it is in which everyone did the same damn thing.
Oh, there's no question. And by the way, like, here's the dilemma that we talked about the other day, LZ, is that, okay, you're going to bring him onto a roster and Cam Newton is still going to be without a job, who was an MVP more recently, right? Who was, let's face it, in the league more recently. So I just think that it's an interesting conundrum to see how this all plays out.
With that in mind, George, is there a scenario that Colin Kaepernick gets signed before Cam Newton? That could Kaepernick be on a roster before Cam?
I mean, I guess possibly, because you would look at him as a guy who would be on a roster as opposed to a guy who in theory wants to just be a starter, right? At least that's what we hear. I don't know how accurate any of that is, because I haven't heard Cam say that. So,
Key, what do you think? Do you think that Kaepernick could be on a team and Cam Newton could not? Is that a possibility? Because that seems crazy. Because it just feels to me that they're going to use Cam Newton as the ultimate, well, we're not signing Kaepernick because we're worried about him taking a knee or our fans' reaction to him taking a knee. It's a supply and demand issue. We love our quarterback room. I mean, Pete Carroll just said he likes his quarterback room, and Geno damn Smith is in it. So that argument, you know, is coming. And, oh, by the way, well, Cam Newton can't even get a job. So, Cap, you know, it's not because of the protests. It's because of supply and demand. You can hear it already.
I would say that I don't believe that he'll get signed before him. I think the Cam's issue is he got let loose at a time where there was no spots available, and the pandemic hit, and they couldn't get their later eyes on him. Now, just think, Todd Gurley just got cleared. Okay, so it's one of those situations where they need to see Cam to really know what they have, unless they're going to take a flyer on a guy who's going to demand way more money than any quarterback that's available. And I don't know that organizations are willing to do those sort of things right now, but I think Cam will be on somebody's team opening day, and he'll probably most likely be a starter for somebody opening day. It's all about the fit. It's all about, can he make us better? Because going into a situation to be the backup, Cam isn't there in his career yet. He's not a backup quarterback. We're not dealing with Jameis Winston, who has to learn how to play the position. Cam Newton knows how to play the position. We're not dealing with a Kaepernick that's been out of football for 5 years, who has to get football acclimated again. So, two different situations. I think both of these guys, though, will be signed by opening day. At least that's my hope.
Here's where the verge is at. This is the distance. Cam Newton, if he is signed and is a you know, they thought he was going to be a starter, they decided, and they have to. We're going to take that at their word that he wasn't good enough, that he was still injured, that he still wasn't quite right. We feel like we can take that at its word. But the thing with Cam is, if they tell us, well, Cam, you know, is too rusty, or he's too behind, or he's not as good, we can't take their word for it. We can't trust it. And that's also is problematic in terms of his saga. It's like, it's one thing to get an invitation, but how do we know he's going to get a fair opportunity? You can walk in the door and already be kicked out before you even know that you were in. And that's where Cam is not, and that's where Cam happens, and that's where Colin is.
Changing subjects here a little bit, George, what's the longest walk you've ever taken? Because we had Ben Lyons on earlier, and he disclosed that
he walked from Beverly Hills to Pasadena or whatever. Yeah.
Is George Sedano signing up for a six-hour walk?
I mean, that's a little long for me. I would say, you know, on a daily basis, I go anywhere between 90 minutes to 2 hours. So, you know, which usually could be anywhere between, you know, between a light jog and a run in between, like at mixing it up. I don't know. It could easily be 7 miles, 8 miles on a given day.
90 or not 90 miles, but 6 hours, he said. I mean,
yeah,
he told me
the story.
I take that walk too. I'm about in the same boat as you are. I'm walking around for the better part of 90 minutes to it. You couldn't.
Which way did he go though?
You wanted to turn it into a bar crawl, Key. You're like, yeah, I could do it if I could stop and have a drink every couple of hours.
But
I
wonder, from Pasadena, I'm trying to think, which way would he go? Do he have to go through Glendale to stay on the surface streets?
Yeah, Eagle Rock, Glendale. I mean, you're getting closer. It's a damn long
Hollywood,
walk. Burbank. Yeah.
Burbank.
Yeah, he walked all that.
Through Hollywood, around, you can go around Highland, or he would have to come over the canyon.
Put it to you this way, I'm never going to have to figure it out because it's never happening. The Sedano Show is next, and we'll see you.
Where's Key Nav? He needed Key Nav.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody.